Praise the Lord. Beautiful, beautiful music. And it's a privilege for all of us to be here today at the Puna Seventh-day Adventist Church. For me, it's simply an honor to preach right in Paradise Park. It's always amazing to be already in Paradise, even here while we're still on the earth, waiting for the real Paradise. Yesterday, my friend, he called me. Oh, excuse me, why it's not changing? He called me right from New York. Young fellow, but now he actually already went through the graduate school and recently became a lawyer. And he called me and said, how are you, Vasily? How are you doing over there? I said, oh, everything is great and sunshine, the sky is blue. It's great to live in Hawaii. He said, you know, it's quite busy over here in New York and everybody is right now running. And you know where I'm running right now? With all my team over here, we're running to the shelter. I said, what's happening? I said, no, come on, guys. You have no idea what's happening right now in New York. We're waiting for the end of this world. I said, are you teasing me? Are you serious? I said, no, you guys have no idea what's really happening over here. The poster's all over. The whole entire world is waiting for the final day. Are you ready? I said, wow. He's asking me, the Seventh-day Adventist pastor, if I'm ready. I said, oh Lord, please, search my heart and help me to be ready. Well, my friends, have you ever wanted to escape? Run away from this world. Maybe you really wanted to run away as far as you probably could. Yeah, we probably all have this feeling once in a while when we wanted to run away from our busy life and to start a new life, to start a new beginning, to start something absolutely new in a new location. Sometimes I feel that the way being in a ministry, it's so hard trying to keep up with so many people and keep all of them quite happy. But let me be more personal here. To keep all of you happy. But I will never do that, you see, because I'm a human being the same like you are. Only God could make us happy. Recently, when I was in Andrews University, just a week ago, our professor gave us a test. And we immediately started to kind of a little bit grumble in our group. We said, come on, it's a doctoral program. What are we talking about tests and quizzes? He said, no, it's a requirement. Let's do a requirement here. And he asked all of us to go for that Meyer Greek test a little bit before to actually divide all of us into groups. It used to be when we were dividing the whole human beings into four different groups. After that started, we divided them to 12 different groups. Now we are dividing the whole entire human society into the 16 different groups. 16. And they can put you some letters even, like TS, JT, or whatever. Depends of your particular type in your group. And for some people, they enjoy to raise their hands at the church, and this is how we are receiving the blessings of the Sabbath. For some people, say, no, it's very too Pentecostal. We can't go so far. We need to be quite modest over here, and we will go only with the law and the testimony. Great, because we're all quite different. All quite different. But God is working with every single one of us in a special way, because He wants to bring us closer into the relationship with Him, with our great and mighty God. You see, today when I was preparing myself, I opened the book of Jonah, and I was praying and said, Lord, this is what you wanted to preach about? And once again, I found out what it's like a conviction. Yes, just use that book. I said, wow, it's great for this particular weekend. We are going to have baptism, Lord. I have so many great, good sermons already for the baptism. Can we use one of them? No, let's talk about the Jonah today. I said, Lord, okay, let's talk about the Jonah. And Jonah is an illustration to attempt to escape how God's giving us an orders, how God trying to correct us, how God is trying to shape us into the grade of His character, and how often we are trying to run away from God. And the text which we were reading today was from Jonah, chapter 3, verse, what verse actually? Yes, exactly, but this is what we were reading. Chapter 3, verse 1. It's a unique verse in the whole entire Bible. You will never find in the whole 66 books the same particular topic, the same particular sentence, the same particular words. Because it says, when God is approaching you the second time, you have the second chance. And God is approaching you and me today. Let us pray as we will go into the Bible study. Our dear Heavenly Father, as we will study your book and the story about the prophet Jonah, touch us, dear Lord. Teach us today. Mold us today. Shape us today. And help us to be, dear Lord, ready for the wonderful kingdom which you are preparing for us. Oh, dear Lord, I'm sure what I will never be ready by myself. I really need your help. I need escape only with you. Help me, dear Lord, and help all of us here to surrender our lives to you and to die for ourselves and to follow only you, our great and mighty God. We are praying in the name of Jesus. Amen. The first stage, which we can see right in the beginning, where I would like to invite you to go right to the first chapter. Book of Jonah, first chapter. We will start only and we will stay throughout the whole chapter here quick, as we will see different stages. But the second chapter and the third chapter, you will continue to read in the future, but the whole entire book we are not going to cover today. Today we are going to study only the first chapter. The first chapter, first two verses. What are they telling us about? First two verses, verse 1 and 2, chapter 1. The word of the Lord came to whom? To Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. Jonah had a mission to accomplish. He received a task. He received a proposal from the Lord. He was told to go. And he was told to go and prepare a particular place, Nineveh. Nineveh was a significant place. It was more likely the largest city in the entire world. It seemed like New York, Tokyo, and so many other cities in the world right now. But not only that, it was the capital of the city of Assyria, which was the most powerful, dominating empire on earth on those days. So he was not going for Nineveh just to deliver message. But he had to deliver message, and he had to share the message from the Lord to the people. And Jonah, oh yes, he knew about the actual city. Because of the wickedness of that city, gotten so bad, he was to go and preach there. He had good news and a bad news to share with them. And when I'm trying to apply this to our days, think about ourselves. Think about what the Lord asked you and me to do. And now, Jonah needs to go to the particular city. And there, he needs to come, approach them and say, okay, if you are not going to use the U-turn, the city is going to be destroyed and all of you guys are going to be killed for eternity. But you need to use the U-turn, and it's permission for you to turn around and immediately change your ways and repent from your sins and be dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ. In the second stage here, we can see how Jonah was not interested to go into Nineveh at all. And we can find that in verse 3. Can you see that? In verse 3. But Jonah, what did he do? He ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa. When he found a ship bound for the port, and after paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Jonah was not interested in going to Nineveh at all. And so he decided to get so as far as possible. Instead of going to Nineveh, which was about like 450 miles of east of Jerusalem. Depends how you will look at the map, yeah? He decided to go sailing almost 2,000 miles in the west of Jerusalem. almost 2,000 miles west of Jerusalem. He heads for Tarshish, which was the farthest point known to him. It was a Phoenician outpost in the southern Spain at the very edge of the Mediterranean world. So why does Jonah go the opposite direction? Certainly going to Nineveh will have been a difficult mission for him. Just think about this. He probably will be made fun or they will maybe made fun of him or run him out of town. Maybe perhaps physically he could have been beaten or even executed. And after all, they were quite dangerous and wicked people. But God asked him to go there. And on top of that, why does God have to send him to Nineveh? There are plenty of places right here around Jerusalem. But why God asked me to go so far, far away? But the truth is, what Jonah held no compassion for Nineveh at all. And the book of Jonah is revealing me once again the character of God, which God is sharing with you and me, his character of love. In the book of Nahum, chapter 3, verse 1 to 4, I even put this text on the screen over here. This is what exactly says in the Bible about Nineveh. This is their character, in the opposite of the character of God. And now we can see, woe to the city of blood, full of lies, full of plunder, never without victims. And I'm thinking about our world today. Maybe we are quite far, far, far from this particular characteristic reference over here. Okay, it says over here in verse 2, the crack of whips, the clatter of wheels, galloping horses, and jolting chariots, charging cavalry, flashing sword, and glittering spears, many casualties, piles of dead, bodies without number, people stumbled over the corpses, all because of the wanton lust of a prostitute, alluring the mistress of sorcerers, who enslaved nations by her prostitution and peoples by her witchcraft. This is the characteristic reference about Nineveh. And God sent to this particular location the prophet Jonah. How far we are staying from this particular characteristic reference in our days. Look at the TV, what we are expecting and facing every single day. Look at the internet service, which is great and could be used as a tree of good and evil. Look at all the privileges which we do have in our days today and how everything is glitter and gleams all over around us with the temptations from the devil. But the Lord Jesus Christ is sending you and me on a mission, and he is telling us and all of us here to go and to listen and to share. And here we can see the third stage. As we already know, what Nineveh was a bad place, nasty and cruel. God sent Jonah right here for him to preach the good news. And then I was thinking about Noah. I just kind of thought maybe, you see, I grew up in the south of Russia and my grandpa was suffering after the World War II. He spent 7 years in prison because of the religious persecution. And besides this, from the other side of my family, my father's dad, he went through the whole entire World War II since 1941 until 1945. When he came home, in the way home, he didn't arrive home. He got killed in the way home after the World War II. And it was quite a sad story, but in reality, when I'm thinking about World War II, I kind of used that illustration here and wanted to apply it to the situation with Noah. Calling Noah to go to the Ninevites was like asking a Jew in 1943 to go from New York to Hitler, straight to Germany, and to tell him, but God loves him. And then everybody, everything, what he did, will be forgiven if he will just simply repent. So the Jew got on the boat, and all right, he said, okay, yes, yes, I will go. But he paid for the ticket, and he went straight down to Hawaii from New York. And he decided, no, maybe the Lord will find me here because it's a lot of paradise places here. When he got down on a ship and straight down went to Australia. And he is still searching for the good location over there because God can see him easily even there. But the main idea of this story, you see, try to imagine what Jonah is trying to accomplish in his life. He's trying to go as far as possible. Simply, Jonah was willing to do God's work as long as it will be suited to his own purposes. If it will be kind of, he can easily accept this idea what God is proposing for him. You know, so often when we are discussing and debating a Sabbath school lesson or during a sermon time, so often we, in our frame of mind, simply can't understand how God could save people while they believe in Hindu religion, while they believe in Buddha, while they're Muslims. We have no idea how God is going to save them. We as a human being are so limited. And we have our frame of mind and we say, okay, this is the only way how God is going to save. Not at all. God has thousands and thousands of ways how he is going to save them. And we need simply to entrust our lives to Jesus and say, God, please save them. And my work is going to be only as I will pray for them and pray diligently. And the third stage is here, verse 4 and 7. Verse 4 through 7. And the Lord sent a great wind on the sea. Yes, can you follow me? It's right in the Bible. Chapter 1, verse 4 through 7. And the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and which violent storm arose, but the ship threatened to break up. And all the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God. And they threw their cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. They decided, okay, I will throw everything away, we will throw everything away, simply just to survive. But Jonah had gone below deck when he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. What a story. The only another place where I can find out who was sleeping in the boat was Jesus. Jesus fell into the deep sleep too. And a storm came along. And disciples, they were furious. They said, Jesus, can you see? We are perishing over here. But with the Jonah situation, the captain came and he questioned Jonah. He said, how can you sleep? Get up, call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us, what we are perishing here. And the sailors said to each other, come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity. They cast lots, and the lot fell on whom? On Jonah. Have you ever found yourself, when you're trying to hide your beliefs and who you are, and the people are noticing what you're a little bit different compared to the rest of the people, and something unusual in your character? Have you ever noticed yourself, have you ever found yourself when you're thinking, oh, wow, if they will discover who I am, it's better if I will tell the truth right now. It's exactly what Jonah is doing. Jonah is chased when he admitted the fact that he is surrounded by God. He's chased by God in a great way, in a lovable way. Because as the storm comes, all the men started to pray right here. They will pray to Asherah, the sea goddess. They will pray to Baal Shamim, the god of the sky. They will pray to Baal Tyre, the god of the marines. And they will try them all, but there is no help at all from any one of them. And finally, someone noticed what Jonah is absent. He's not praying with them. And Jonah was awakened by the captain. And now he's questioned by the captain. I don't know how Jonah slept through this storm. It's just simply amazing. But then the captain approached him. He rebukes the prophet of his prayerlessness. And he's asking him, why are you not praying? Why are you not praying? My dear beloved friends, guests, Seventh-day Adventists, how I wish if we will never be rebuked by somebody from the world when we are not praying enough. Our professor at the university, he asked us and he said, guys, have you had an hour of prayer this morning? Said, no, please, come on, it's 7 o'clock in the morning, our class, we had no time, we just zoomed back to the school immediately and we tried to be right in time at the class, but at the same time some of the guys came slightly later. There is no time for prayer. We were doing that prayer right at morning devotion at the class only for a few minutes. I said, no. It will be nice if we will have at least 1 hour of prayer. This is what Sister White, by inspiration from the Holy Spirit, suggesting to you and me. Beside this, we need to remember, when we are praying to the Lord Jesus, we need to have a stages of prayer as well. Because in one of the class, he asked us, he said, right now we have a first class, it's going to be a complete silence. For 45 minutes, we will listen to the Lord. And he said, okay, the beginning of class, and it started. For 45 minutes, complete silence. And he said, guys, simply listen to the Lord. Have you ever listened to God for 45 minutes in your life? Recently, I had this experience. I should tell you, it's an amazing experience. When you can hear the voice of God, when you can feel His presence. And after then the class was over, he said, now write it down, everything quickly, what you remembered. Because he asked us not to touch the Bible, not to have any discussions, put the cell phones and everything, the computers away. And we had for 45 minutes, complete and amazing experience when you can just tune your ears and your mind to listen to the Lord. The next class started. He said, okay, now guys, go, everyone will go outside and we'll look at the nature. And as you look at the nature, see how God is talking to you through the nature. There is no other greatest book in the whole entire Bible as the book of Jonah. How God is trying to teach you and me how God is working through the nature. Especially in the book of Jonah. He is using the whole entire nature to show us His power, His force, and His kindness and His love. It's amazing what he shared with Jonah right here. But after that, our teacher asked us, when we came back, he said, okay, now report what you received from the lesson, what you received the lesson from the nature. And now it's your time when you can read the Word of God. He said, now let's listen how the God is talking to us, and let's read how the God is talking to us through the Bible, through His Word. So often we immediately jump into the Bible. We immediately read in the text for us, oh, it's good enough for today. One text is great. Yes, but it's not enough. It's not enough food for you to sustain throughout the whole day, throughout the whole week. And if you're receiving your spiritual food only on Sabbath morning here for half an hour, there is no support for you at all. It will be great if you will have at least time, the silent time with the Lord, enjoy the nature around you, and after that read the Bible. And you will see how God is going to talk to you in an amazing way. According to the book of Proverbs, chapter 16, verse 33 says, a lot is cast into the lap, but every decision is from the Lord. Every decision is coming from the Lord. And Jonah, he now understood his situation. The fourth stage, how we will call this fourth stage? Culpability. It means what the Jonah found his responsibility, and he found he is quite guilty in what he have done. So they ask him, according to verses 8 through 11, we are still in chapter 1. So they ask him, tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What do you do? Where do you come from? And what is your country? Only now they had that personal conversation, interaction with him, and they got acquainted for such a terrible, terrible moment in their life, and they were furious for their own lives. From what people you are? And he answered, I'm a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land. And I'm placing myself right here in this situation. What should I say in this particular moment? I should say, when the people from this world are questioning me, I'll say, yes, I am a Christian, but not only just a Christian, I'm a Seventh-day Adventist Christian. I'm a little bit more than the rest of the world because I really would like to follow the truth. I would like to follow the Bible. And I personally love my God and love the Lord Jesus Christ because He is right there in my heart. And as they found out what He is running from the Lord, they're questioning Him right now. What should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us? In the final days of this earth, when this world will going to come to the end, people will question you as a Seventh-day Adventist. And they will ask you, what should we do in order for us to have peace in this world? What should we do to you? According to the book of Great Controversy, they're going to kill all the Seventh-day Adventists. We're going to destroy all of those who believe in faithfully in the Lord Jesus Christ and the Heavenly Father. And only by the Holy Spirit you will be guided and directed. If you are not establishing your connection with the Lord Jesus in our peaceful days, it will be quite late to do it in the final moment, in the final day. And Jonah, he has accepted responsibility. And Jonah's action affects both him and the others. He understands what right now he's quite responsible for everything that is happening. And you know what he's saying? He's saying, okay, now if I'm only responsible, you should do something only personally to me. Nobody else is responsible. I cannot save the whole world, and I cannot save even myself. What you need to do, you simply need to die for yourself. And Jonah decided. The sailors were obviously hardworking. They're courageous. They try to help. Why have you done this to us? They're questioning him. But Jonah's solution for just quite quick and clear. He's saying, pick me, take me. And this is what he's saying, right? And from verses 12 through 15. Pick me and throw me into the depth of the sea. Throw me away. He replied, and it will become calm. The only solution if you'll get rid of me, because I'm done. My life is finished. And instead, the men did their best to row back to the land. Even the human, pagan, they said, no, this plan is not going to work. We would like to right now compromise with God. We will try to do our best. Maybe we will still save your life. Let's do our best. And they started to roar and roar and roar again and again and again. But personally, how Jonah is responded, it's quite amazing to me. Because Jonah said, no, there is no way. The only way, it's for me to die. My dear beloved, I'm so happy for Jatan and for Brother Leo. It's great, Leonardo, what you decided to completely surrender your life to Jesus. It's so great, Jatan, what you would like to die today for yourself and you would like to live for Jesus. It's so great when you would like to go into that waterly grave and do it publicly for the God's glory. It's amazing what God is requiring and asking us to do, to follow His example of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was absolutely sinless and made an example for us and died and got baptized and showed us a great example of what we need to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Okay, and we are moving here to the sixth stage. Here's a conviction in verse 16. We're in the first page, in the first chapter, verse 16, it says to us, the attitude of the sailors became a healthy fear. They're so afraid. But it's quite interesting. When they took him out of their ship and threw them into the sea, immediately the sea calmed. Wow. They became so fearful. They were so afraid. And now they are worshiping the God of heaven and the earth. You see, in order for you to preach to your people, in order for you to save your family, in order for you to save yourself, you need to die for yourself. There is no other way. And they learn quickly what God is in control of everything what is around them. They became believed that as a result of God's pursuit of Jonah, something is really amazing happening right here. There's such an irony here. They had prayed that the Lord will forgive them for this innocent blood. Oh, they're asking for forgiveness. They are so convinced in everything what they were doing. And they are doing honestly from the bottom of their hearts. But it's amazing how even the Jonah, he was still pursuing his own ideas and desires. The seventh stage is the care stage. Verse 17. But the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah. But the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days and 3 nights. Jesus Christ used this illustration and this example as a powerful, powerful illustration which was applicable only in Jesus' sermon. Right there in his days, he said, as you will see, as you already know the story about Jonah, you will see the Son of Man who will go through the same particular experience for 3 days and 3 nights. in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. My dear beloved, have you ever had this experience in your life? When you're questioning God and saying, Lord, if you will place me in this situation, maybe I will change my behavior. If you will allocate me to the different location, maybe I will be different. But you know, all these friends around me and this work which I am doing and all these temptations which is falling on me, I can't change anything because it's already routine. I'm doing this every single day. And this smoking temptation, drinking temptation, whatever is happening around me, I can't change that. But the Lord is asking you and me to die for ourselves and to place ourselves into the experience of Jesus and Jonah. And I says, you will spend these 3 days of fasting and praying in the belly of the fish. You will see what an amazing experience the Lord will provide for you if you will simply dedicate your life to the Lord again. You see, God is always preparing something amazing for you when you're thinking this is the end of your rope, when you're thinking there is no way and all the doors are closed. I, in my pastoral career, heard many times when people saying, Pastor, all the doors are closed. I said, okay, great, let us pray and ask the Lord for the windows to be opened. Because it says in the Bible, Malachi 3, I will open all the windows of heaven. It never says about the doors, it says about the windows. I said, let's pray, and the windows will be open. Great, because Lord will always provide, and He will send you a fish or send you something else. But it's amazing what the Lord is telling for Jonah once again in chapter 2. Jonah is having experience when he is praying. It's a whole chapter of prayer, powerful testimony, great prayer, use it. Meditate upon this prayer. Use this book as an illustration for your personal devotional. But in Jonah chapter 3, we can find this particular amazing verse from which we begin our study today. Chapter 3, verse 1. And now the Lord came to Jonah the second time. Please hug these words. Just simply hug them. Surely, these are some of the most encouraging words in the whole entire scripture. Jonah deliberately and stubbornly rebelled against God, but marveled that even his disobedience was not enough to make God turn his back on him. Think about your life. Think about what God is providing particular for you when you are running from God and questioning Him, and you are worried about the rest of the world. But you are not worried about yourself and your own heart. My dear beloved, look what the prophets and kings are telling to us from page 275. As the church, we stand there, Jonah stood. God has told us to do what? Go, go, don't sit still, go. And we discern through Jonah's experience that his commands are not to be taken lightly. Man boasts of the wonderful progress and enlightenment of the age in which we are now living. But God sees the air filled with iniquity and violence. And Sister White continues here by the inspiration. In page 275, God has commissioned the Seventh-day Adventist Church to proclaim the final judgment message. That the great things of God's law, the principle of justice, the principle of mercy and love therein, may be set forth in the true light. What a great question. What a great commission from the Lord. Are we running still from God? Perhaps we, like Jonah, are hesitant to proclaim such a startling judgment message. And it's right here. Maybe we too are embarrassed with God's mercy has postponed the judgment we have preached for so long. Now it seems as though we do not know what we are talking about. And we are like Jonah, who jealous for his reputation, lost sight of the infinitely greater value of the souls in that city, in the city of Puna, Kiao, Gila, Big Island. You see, God is here with you right now. God is here with you right now. And He's trying to tell you and me what He is pursuing. He's searching. He's trying to bring you closer into the relationship with Him. And I like what Max Lucado shared with us many years ago. If there are 1,000 steps between you and God, God will take 999 of them to leave the last one for you, to leave only one step for you. And you know what Jesus is telling you and me? He's saying exactly, make one step from 999. Come to me, he's saying. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I will give you peace of mind. I will give you peace in your heart, because the whole entire world is worried about the end of this earth. And people are questioning us, are you ready? But they should not question you or me. We should question ourselves, are you ready? If I am ready, Lord Jesus, search my heart. Today, Jatan and Leonardo would like to dedicate their life to Jesus. They searched their heart and they decided, okay, we would like to be baptized, we would like to be rebaptized, we would like to follow Jesus closely, and we would like to follow his example. Oh Lord, thank you so much for the great story from the book of Jonah. But right now I would like for you to sing song, closing song for us. And as we will sing this closing song, I would like for you to pay attention to the words and search your heart. As we will sing right now these words from number 462, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. I will put words on the screen over here. Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine.